What do you say, church? Amen. Thank you, choir, for blessing us as we begin to celebrate Black History Month. It's a moment of introspection where we take a look back how far God has brought us, both as a people and individually. And the journey still continues. There's still some mountains to climb. There's still a whole lot more to do. And the reality of the matter is it will still go on until Jesus comes and makes all things right. But as we reflect on our journey together as a people, my prayer is that God will continue to guide and lead us. We are a spiritual people, embodied, brought from the continent of Africa. You know, this thing of secular and spiritual started when we started to go out west. Within the context of an African, everything we do is integrated in the worship of God. If I can start before I get into my message, my great-grandfathers and my fathers, my grandfathers, every single sunset, they would tie 7 knots. And every sundown, they would untie a knot. And on the 7th knot, they would turn towards Mount Kenya, which is the highest point in Kenya at 19,000 feet, with snow right in the middle of the equator. And they would turn there not because they were worshiping the mountain, but because they believed on the 7th day the Most High God would come down towards the mountain and he would bless the land. Until missionaries came and flipped that around. And so when we live our life every day, when we go to the market, we don't separate ourselves that now I have a secular life and a spiritual life. We are children that are integrated. The very fabric of our life is worship. That's what kept the slaves as they came through the middle passage. That's what kept them singing as they lay there tied down, kept them going because they worshiped God even in the most adverse condition. And even through chains and through horrors of slavery, they survived because beyond the present circumstances and the dismal situation they found themselves in, they would look up and they would believe that God was still with them. They would believe they wore shoes, even though they now have shoes in their mind. But in their mind, by faith, they knew God would bless them. So I pray as we go through this month, it's a month of both celebration of how far God has brought us, but also is a vivid reminder of the world we're living in and the constant war that goes on against who we are as a people of color. But I thank God for every adversity. Whether you are African descent because your ancestors came through the middle passage on the slave boat, or an African from the continent of Africa that was colonized against their own will, where our land was taken. You know, Christianity is very difficult in Africa because one of the things, as African people, we are hospitable. And when the missionaries walked in, they say in my land, they say the missionary walked in, we were hospitable, we welcomed them. They asked us to kneel down. We knelt down. They asked us to close our eyes. We closed our eyes. They told us to pray. When we got up, we had the Bible in our hand, but we lost our land. That's how, because Christianity was tied very closely to colonialism. And it was indeed used as the wedge, as the bulldozing wedge to make inroads. And so God has called us. God had already called us as a people. And so I pray today as we listen to this message, a two-part message that I have. And so I start the first part today. The presence and the grace of God, whatever you brought, whatever challenges you're going through, whatever struggles you have, I want you to know that Jesus knows. He hears your heart as it speaks, and he will hold your hand as you walk. Shall we pray together? Our Father in heaven, we gather one more time before your presence. Not because we're worthy or because we deserve to, but on account of your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We invite you one more time for the next few moments to just speak to us. We are blessed already. We have worshipped through Sabbath School. We have worshipped through our praise team. We've worshipped through children's story. We've listened to your scripture. And now we want to hear a word from you. As always, I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Christ. And allow all eyes now as I speak to focus on you, even as you touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. They tell me that the eye is an amazing organ. They tell me that with the eyes we see, with the eyes we recognize. The human eye is a significant human sense organ. It allows humans conscious light perception and vision. This includes color differentiation and perception of depth. The human eye can distinguish about 10 million different colors. That is the eye. Eyes come in all colors and all shapes. Brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes, you name any color eye. Eyes, that's what makes us unique. With eyes, you can see far and wide. With eyes, you are privileged to see the beauty of sunsets and sunrises. With eyes, you will see the beautiful rainbow. With eyes, we take them for granted, but this amazing and special organ is what God gave us. Eyes see beauty. Eyes, there is something about eyes. We may take them for granted, but eyes are special. You can know if someone loves you by looking at their eyes. You can tell if someone is angry by looking at their eyes. After a while, as a parent, I can tell if my children are lying to me by looking into their eyes. Eyes have a story to tell. With our eyes, this season, we will hopefully watch as our favorite football team advances towards the finals. Is it tomorrow? Super Bowl is tomorrow. I know we're not hearing much about it, but we will be watching that with our eyes. Eyes can bring joy, but also with eyes see sorrow. We cry and the eyes shed tears. Eyes tell when we are sad and when we are joyful. Eyes can tell a story. There are many with eyes, but they see nothing. And therefore, the first part of my title, I know the title of my message is a baptism that matter, but the first part of this message, I would like to title it, What Can My Eyes See? What Can My Eyes See? Would you graciously turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10? Very familiar passage for many of us. Mark, chapter 10. And as always, I'll read from the New Living Translation, and you can follow in the translation of your choice and preference. Mark chapter 10, allow me to just read from verse 46 to 52 as I build on our message this morning. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Verse 51. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I am drawn constantly to the book of Mark. Mark is a very simple book in the Gospels. As a new Christian, this is the book that helped me connect with Jesus. And it's because of the way Mark writes his narratives. Mark does not write to people who already have a relationship with God. Mark is writing to people who need to understand the simple basics of what it means to know Jesus Christ the Messiah. Mark is an action-oriented writer. For him, from Mark chapter 1, he begins with this word that he constantly uses through immediately. There is a sense of urgency when Mark is talking. There is a sense of urgency. And what is that urgency? That the Son of God, who has become vulnerable and human, is now dwelling here on earth, is on a mission and on a journey. He's headed towards Jerusalem. Mark's entire narrative is about Jesus' journey ultimately to Jerusalem, ultimately to the cross, and ultimately to be crucified. And so here in the midst of all this journey, we begin to see Mark talking about instantly, immediately. There is a sense of urgency with him. So Jesus' last healing, this is Jesus' last healing in the Gospel of Mark, is set in Jericho on the edge of the wilderness. This is an interesting area because Galilean Jews on pilgrimage to Jerusalem would pass around the Samaritans area and through Perea on Jordan's east side. And they would cross over the Jordan again at Jericho and take the final journey up the steep road to Jerusalem. It was here that a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus positioned himself to. It was a strategic location for begging. You may have witnessed within your neighborhood a beggar who places himself at that strategic junction. Are you with me this morning? Some of you will have seen the sign, "I will work for food." Others will have that compelling sign that reads, especially on Sabbath morning as you're driving to church and they know you're going to church, says, "God bless you." And you have no choice when you stop at that line. If you have a heart and "God bless you" and you're headed to church and there's a beggar and you know he's been there and that's what he does for a living, you have to roll down your window and somehow give out something. Whatever it says, beggars know where to strategically place themselves. They appeal to our compassion. They appeal to our eyes. Many of us drive by and look the other way. Sometimes we wish that the light is green by the time we get where they are. Are you with me this morning? We are sometimes angry at these beggars whom we stereotype as lazy. Honestly, many usually use drugs. Others are honest enough to let you know that if you give them your hard-earned dollars, they will spend it on some drink or some alcoholic drink or some drug. Nonetheless, they are beggars, needing our compassion and our assistance because they have a story behind that mask. Many carry a story of pain, frustration, failure, and brokenness. Many are just seeking a compassionate person to provide a meal for that day. Many live on a day-to-day and hand-to-hand basis. Such was the case with blind Bartimaeus as elucidated in our scripture passage. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. And Timaeus simply means one who is worthy of honor. Combine those two and talk with me this morning. Here is a man who is the son of a man who is worthy of honor. We are not told about the circumstances and how he ended up being a beggar on Jericho's main street. We know that he was blind and that his blindness had reduced him to a beggar. And along this way were pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem. In other words, they were men and women headed to church. Are you with me this morning? On this road were men and women of God on the way to church to worship. In the ancient world, a man in his position was totally dependent on others for charity, for guidance, and for protection. Leviticus chapter 23 verse 22 says, "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvest does drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God." He was one of society's expendables. As we look at this passage for today, this is what happens to Bartimaeus. The son of one who is worthy finds himself on the underside of privilege. Society somehow has rejected him. Mark's irony is that on this road are professed children of God on the way to worship or from worship. They are busy with church. Talk to me, church, this morning. But somehow they are just as equally blind. How many times have you felt that life has dealt you the short end of the stick? How many times have you cried out and no one seems to listen or even pay attention? How many of us feel crowded out many a times? We are around people, but we cannot even share with them how we feel. As a matter of fact, they would not even pay attention to our hurting moments. Crowded out by our bills, crowded and cowered by disease, crowded out by work with no rest, not even rest on the Sabbath. We search for peace and all we experience is restlessness around us. It appears like the darkness of the hour may never come to an end. I came by to let you know, just hold on for a moment. Jesus is on the way. That is exactly how the crowd treated Bartimaeus. They offer him no help. When he cries out to Jesus as the son of David, they chide him for making a nuisance of himself. You see, no one knows the path you must walk. No one knows what you've been through this week. Are you with me this morning? Only Jesus understands, because he has been walking with you through the passage called life. The crowd does not bring Bartimaeus to Jesus. There are times folk will hear that you are in a little trouble. Instead of lifting you up in prayers to Jesus, instead of speaking words of promise from his word, they get on the telephone and speak about your predicament. But Jesus is around the corner. Mark 8:22 says, "When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him." You see, the people of Bethsaida brought a blind man to Jesus for healing. Instead, this crowd thinks Jesus, who in their eyes is noble, has no time for blind beggars. However, Mark gives this beggar dignity by giving him a name, Bartimaeus. The blind man will not be put off by reproaches from the crowd. Oh no. You should never allow others to define your relationship with Jesus. Are you with me this morning? We are all special in his eyes. We all come with unique experiences and histories to Jesus. Bartimaeus was not about to give up his blessing. Not even the intimidating crowd. And I came to let you know that God cares about you no matter where you are today. Bartimaeus yells more desperately. You know, all Bartimaeus heard was feet passing by. Are you with me this morning? He heard he had become an expert at reading feet. Perhaps he could even decipher how much each person would give based on how they walked. But today, in the midst of the dust and feet, something sounded different. Bartimaeus sees with a sixth sense that the man passing by is more than simply a widely acclaimed prophet and a miracle worker. Oh no, this is no ordinary person passing by. He cannot see, but he feels that something is about to happen. Luke chapter 18, verse 38 to 35 says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening, and they told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He calls out to Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, in calling Jesus Son of David, the blind man recognizes that Jesus is the promised one of God. By invoking the name Son of David, he acknowledges Jesus as the Messiah. This Messiah has power to heal, exercising great authority over forces of evil. Yes, this Jesus is able. The crowd continues to tell Bartimaeus to be silent. Let me tell you, do not let anybody rob you of the privilege of glorifying your God. When you come and the praise team evokes a song that touches your heart, stand up and raise your hand and lift your hands towards heaven, because you are the only one who Jesus have walked down through some passages that only God understands. Lift up your hands and praise God. Don't let anybody look at you and say, what are you doing shouting? You don't know where I have been. You don't know what Satan has done to me. You don't know what I have overcome. Some of us barely make it into church. So do not let anybody rob you of your privilege of glorifying your God. Shout if you must when you are blessed. Shout, cry out when you need healing. Call out to Jesus when you need a blessing. The crowd tells Bartimaeus to be quiet. Jesus, however, stops. You know, I came to a conclusion a long time ago. God's people can be interesting. Are you with me this morning? Not these God's people, but those ones over there. God's people can be interesting. There are God's people who it feels like they scheme how they're about to take the joy of your salvation away. So you get to church and the first person you meet, they just take you and deflate you and take you back. I've seen people walk into church and turn around and drive home crying because someone says something insensitive, not knowing the pain that that person has gone through. Someone may have walked into the church having lost their loved one. They don't know how to grieve. They don't know what to say. And instead of getting a hug because they came to church for someone to lift them up, someone would say something about them, something about their character, something about what they're wearing, something about what they're doing, something about them that would just bring them down and help them beat them down. That is the crowd telling Bartimaeus, be quiet. But I came by to let you know, you've got to fight your battle with Jesus. When Jesus is around, you've got to raise up. Don't let anybody tell you to be quiet when Jesus is passing around. Jesus stops. Whenever you shout, Jesus will stop. Jesus will stop for you in the midst of your crowd. Jesus will stop when everything around you tries to vanquish your life. Jesus will stop when sickness stops you in your tracks. Jesus will stop when no one else understands your pain. Jesus will stop when doctors have given up on you. Jesus says, call him. And I pondered on this word, call. And there is something significant when Jesus stops somewhere and he calls someone. John chapter 11, we have such an instance. Martha and Mary were good friends with Jesus. This is the one place we know Jesus hang out. He would come after his hard day in ministry. This is where Jesus would be Jesus. Put his feet on the table, just go into the fridge, go into the kitchen, walk anywhere. He was free to hang out in the house of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And when Lazarus was sick. They sent out word with great expectation because they had seen what Jesus could do. And Jesus did not show up. And Lazarus died. And so when he came, Mary met with him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know in the last day we shall see him." And Jesus said, "If you knew the power of God, if only you knew the power of God." He said, "Show me where he is." And no, Jesus, you can't go to the grave. He's been 4 days in the grave. You don't understand. He stinks. And Jesus stands at the tomb, and what does he do? He calls out to Lazarus. And when he calls Lazarus, even though he had been dead and completely dead, you know, there were always rumors around, because whenever he resurrected the young girl, they said, no, she probably was just sleeping. And so he resurrected the son of the widow of Nain. Yeah, they thought, no, that was just a makeup. But this one, nobody could deny that Lazarus was dead. And so when he calls him, that voice that called him is the same voice when Jesus will descend with the clouds of glory. And his voice will call each one that believes in him by name. And the voice will penetrate the grave and the tombstones. The voice will penetrate the years of being buried. And that voice will bring life into a person. And the Bible just says that person will resurrect from their grave. And in the twinkling of an eye, they will be changed. And this is the same call that is here with Mark. Mark says, when the crowd is done making the noise and trying to hush Bartimaeus up, Jesus stops and Jesus says, "Call him." Jesus answers Bartimaeus' insistent cry for help with an urgent call of his own. The verb call is repeated 3 times in verse 49 of the passage. Mark 10:49 just simply says, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Jesus tells the crowd to call him. They call the blind man saying, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling." I want you to know today that Jesus is calling you out of your situation. This is your day of deliverance. This is your day of victory. Jesus is calling you out of that secret life, calling you out of the dark secret sin that only you and God know about. Jesus is calling you today and through this year to be fruitful in your tithe and offerings. Jesus is calling you to embrace healing of faith by faith today. Jesus is calling you to stand. You know, children's story was about standing up, and Justin told us about the fourth Hebrew boy, and we don't talk about the other Hebrew boys that were in town, but Jesus is calling us to take a stand for him in these crazy days. For Bartimaeus, Jesus does not call him to discipleship as he did with the fisherman by his side. Bartimaeus, however, responds just as rapidly as those first disciples. When Jesus calls you today, you must respond. It does not matter where you are today. It does not matter how you feel. Jesus is calling. And you, like Bartimaeus, can respond. I know some of you today are feeling discouraged. Jesus is calling. Can you give up? Can you see? Jesus is calling. Be lifted up, my friends, today. When he calls, there is victory. You see, when he called Lazarus, there was victory against death, and he beat the odds, and Lazarus was able to get out of the tomb. When he called Bartimaeus, he was blind, and we're going to see shortly, when he called, his life situation changed with immediate effect. Blind Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. When Jesus calls Bartimaeus, he springs up to come to Jesus. Do not hesitate when you hear the voice of God calling you. Blind Bartimaeus knew what he wanted. He knew that he was blind. Are you with me this morning? He knew that no one could heal him except Jesus, the Messiah. He knew that for a long time he had lived on the underside of privilege. He made up his mind, this was the day to come home, because Jesus was here and this was his moment. This was his chance, and he was not about to let his blessings pass by. We need the Bartimaeus kind of faith this morning. Because the blessings of God are here with us. But we must be faithful to his call. Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is about to fulfill Isaiah 35 verse 4 and 5, which simply says, "Say to those who are fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf." What I like about the story of Bartimaeus, a blind man living on the side of the road and reduced to begging, confesses Jesus as the Messiah, as one who has power to restore sight to humanity. Mark, in this case, does not concentrate on the cause of the miracle of healing itself. No healing words or gesture, no demonstration of cure. This miracle takes on a symbolic significance. If truth be told, all of us are spiritually blind. And we need the master healer to touch our eyes. When Jesus calls Bartimaeus, he leaves his cloak behind. What is significant about his cloak? The cloak was valuable to beggars in those days. The cloak was used as shelter at night to shield from the cold. It was used in the day as shelter from the sweltering sun. The cloak was the only piece of property Bartimaeus owned. The cloak would have been placed before him to collect alms. It was his source of warmth for the night. But when Jesus called Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus left his cloak behind. He will not have anything hinder him from following Jesus. Beloved saints of God, in 2020, if we are going to successfully follow Jesus, there is a lot that we must give up. We must first come fully, we must first fully consecrate our lives to Jesus. I want Jesus to come back and take us home. I'm tired of us playing church many times and having one life and saying we're one thing but acting another one. Jesus is saying in 2020, as Christians, we need to make a difference. We need to change our lives. We need to be what we are. I told you, what you are right now in church ought to be what you are on Monday morning in your office, but more importantly, ought to be how you are in your home, but even more importantly, how you are at midnight as you drive down the highway. When people cut you on the highway, how do you respond? You ought to be the same consistent Christian that they ought to know. I'm trying to avoid telling stories, but one Sunday morning I was on my way to board meeting, and this vehicle passed me right in the middle of the bridge where on a double yellow line. And when it passed, and it's somewhere where I was actually visiting this church as I was going on my way to board meeting, and as it passed, I saw it was the number plate said "By Faith." So I knew this was somebody going to church. And then they weaved in again, and they weaved in on somebody who was angry with them. And when somebody tried to let them know that they made a mistake, they rolled down their window and put out their hand, and you know what else they did. And when I walked to the church, because I was meeting their pastor of the church, when I walked into the church, guess who was at the door ushering? We are to be Christians 24/7, every minute, every hour. So God is calling us to first fully consecrate our lives to Jesus. So I urge you to make a covenant with God today as he passes by. Claim his promises. Bartimaeus left everything to follow Jesus. When you consecrate your all you own, God will bless it so that it will bless others. Bartimaeus left his coat behind. What is this message saying to us today? The truth be told, we are all blind and sitting by the wayside. We are struggling with our spirituality daily. Since our problem is within, we need help from above. Jesus can heal physical blindness, but more than that, he wants to heal spiritual blindness. Blind Bartimaeus wanted literal physical sight. He was optimistic that the Son of David, the Messiah, can work a miracle to restore his sight. on a spiritual level, he voices what each one of us needs to be able to see. The blind man was begging for his earthly sustenance, yet he saw in the darkness of his blindness the light of the heavenly promise. I came by to let you know today that the sight that counts is what the heart sees. What does your heart see today? How is your relationship with God? How is your walk with Jesus today? Do you need to make some changes in your life? Do you need a fulfilling Christian walk? Christianity will always be fraught with trials and tribulation. Jesus says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. A faith that sees Jesus possesses insight that the world cannot recognize. Bartimaeus switched from begging at the side of the road to journeying along with Jesus. That is a marked change of direction. When we see Jesus, when we come to Jesus, we are elevated to the highest possible station in life. He realized that he must keep his eyes on Jesus. And so I encourage you today that we also must keep our eyes on Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus received his sight because of his faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We must stay close to Jesus through this word if we are going to make it home. Too many of us are depending on the spiritual experience of others. And you see, if that Bartimaeus depended on the spirituality of those around him, he would not have had his sight. Because those church folk around him were trying to tell him to hush and be quiet so that he doesn't receive his blessings. We cannot fly on the coattails of somebody else's blessings. I urge you today, engage in a Bible study. Attend prayer meeting. Come to Sabbath school. Here you will hear God's word. Here you will hear Jesus calling. Do not hesitate when he calls. Ellen White says in the book, in the magazine Review and Herald, dated March 15, 1887, it is only when the sinner feels the need of a savior that his heart goes after the one who can help him. One look of faith would touch his heart of love and bring blessings of his grace. As we receive healing and blessings from God, the road he wants us to travel is not always going to be the most comfortable one. I encourage you to fully engage the Lord in ministry. Do not hesitate to step out in faith because God guarantees the results. Do not shy away from ministry opportunities because God is opening up greater blessings for you through these ministries. Use the less traveled road. Do not be a mediocre Christian. Experience the full power of God's grace as you consecrate your life to him. As a people, God has brought us a mighty long way, but we have a long way to go. We have faith in the one thing that no one can take, the one thing legislation cannot take for us, is the faith we have in the power of God who can do the impossible. Our inner cities make it not because our politicians and legislators have brought solutions, even though every election cycle they will promise heaven and earth. It is because of the saints of God who are praying within the community. And God comes and touches. God uses you as the feet and the hands. God uses you as the voice of comfort. God uses you as the voice of advocacy. God uses you to stand up for the voiceless. God will use you in every opportunity. That's why God has called us as Christians, not to just come in and be cozy in church. The church is not supposed to be a sanctified social club, but when God sends us here, church is just a filling station. When we leave church, we ought to carry Jesus with us into our neighborhoods, into our communities. Do you know your neighborhood is safe because of you? Have you realized that? I was just reading an article the other day about Delaware, some cities in Delaware, and I was amazed some of the burglaries that go around in Delaware, house breakings. I thought, who breaks into houses anymore? And I realized I live right next in a neighborhood where people break the houses. But we, in all our neighborhood, you don't hear anything like that. And then I realized it's not just by accident. We've got a few men and women of God living in this neighborhood. And every time we lift up our prayer, entourages and retinues of angels will come and surround the entire neighborhood because there are children of God in that neighborhood. That's what God wants you to do. That's what true practical Christianity means. When we leave the walls of the church, people ought to know, what does it mean to be in that church? It means that I can hold your hand. I can cry with you. I can feed you when you need, when you have no food. You know how many people come sometimes even to church and they have not had a meal all week? You know, sometimes there are folk who come to church and their gas or their electricity was disconnected or their water was disconnected, but they can't tell anyone. Because, and why they can't tell anyone? Because sometimes our fellowship is lacking. Somebody in the fellowship ought to have known somebody is without a meal. Not to tell others, but to go out because God has blessed you. Get in your fridge if you can, go to the store and take half of you have, walk into that room, bless them and let them know, I'm going to share what I have. I'm not sharing because I'm wealthy. I'm sharing because the heart of Jesus is walking with me. And when we do that, God helps us. And when we do that, God lifts us up. And when you do that, the kingdom of God is glorified and people begin to see who Jesus is. Bartimaeus was a beggar, but when Jesus called him, he began to follow Jesus. So I came here to let you know today, God promises never to leave you or forsake you. The healing of blind Bartimaeus is a type of healing for our spirituality today. What do you want today? I pray that when Jesus asks that question, you will answer that I may see. We need to buy gold tried in the fire. We need to buy white clothes to wear. We need spiritual eyes off. The familiar line from the song Amazing Grace, I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Understands conversation as a move from blindness to sight. Many are spiritually blind today. Jesus is calling. If we are to move from blindness to sight, many of us resonate with this blind man's encounter with Jesus. For many of us, it matches the healing grace we have received in our lives. We know that we know what it feels like to figuratively sit in the dust, a beggar of grace, calling out desperately for help, shouting louder and louder in our silent prayers in the night season. We shout and cry out louder when others try to silence our petitions. We know what it's like to learn that Jesus cares. If you are in this situation today, you don't know where to go or who to turn to. If you feel that there is chaos in your world today, and you feel that your cries cannot be heard above the noisy crowds in your life, I came by to let you know Jesus cares. He cares enough to hear you above the din of the crowd. He cares enough and to extend the call that will gladden your heart. In order to overcome the obstacles and become a victorious Christian, I just want to encourage you, pray without ceasing. Healing does not always come easily for those whom Jesus heals. You must overcome the crowd's determination to silence you. Persist in calling out Jesus' name until you hear Jesus calling your name. Be intentional in coming to Jesus for relief. Healing requires persistence. There are times you have to pray day and night. Bartimaeus does not simply want to meet that famous prophet from Nazareth in some misty-eyed emotionalism. He cries out specifically to Jesus because he believes that he will have mercy on him and can give him his sight. You must come to Jesus armed with the faith that he will do what the word of God says it will do. Jesus is asking you today, what do you want me to do for you? Do not hesitate. He who hesitates is lost. Bartimaeus cannot hesitate. He does not say, maybe I will wait until Jesus passes this way again in a less crowded situation. He claims his promise now. We must claim our promises today. We must claim our healing today. We must claim our victory over sin right now. We do not hesitate. Move into action. After being healed, Bartimaeus moves into action. Mark initially describes him as sitting by the roadside. To sit along the side can be perilous for your salvation. Once you have your healing, once you have your victory in Jesus, you cannot just sit around. And that is why I call upon you to covenant with God today. You cannot sit in the sidelines as a spectator while others lay their lives in the line. When you receive your blessings from Jesus, make it right with God. When you receive your spiritual eyesight, you must follow Jesus. Jesus is calling you today. As I close, if you feel you're like Bartimaeus in some situation, you've been sitting by the wayside too long and you don't understand what's going on, and you just want Jesus to fix your situation, whatever it is, would you just stand where you are and claim by the faith of Bartimaeus for him to grant you that which you desire? Father, you see your people. They stand because, like Bartimaeus, they want you to meet them on their own Jericho road and to grant them the one thing that they are requesting you. I pray now by the grace and the power of God who dwells in the high heavens that you will answer each of these requests and the covenants that they have made. And when you've done that, that your people will testify, for this I asked, and for this the Lord has granted me. For too long we've been silenced. For too long the crowd has crowded out our petitions towards you. But tonight we stand, this afternoon we stand in victory. We stand in the grace and the power of the Most High. And thank you, Father, for gracing us. Thank you for answering our prayers. And thank you for passing by our Jericho highway. Now may you continue to bless us and give us the power we need to be victorious as Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you. May he walk with you.